Today is Wednesday, June 21st, 2023. It is approximately 4:06. This is a recording of the Ad Hoc Finance Subcommittee for the month of June.
Okay, thank you. Meeting is called to order. Pledge of Allegiance, let's rise up. Ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all. You may be seated. Roll call. Vice Mayor's here, and I am here. approval of the agenda.
So moved.
I second that. It's been done. Approval of the minutes.
So moved.
I second that. And now a public forum. Please limit remarks to 3 minutes or less. Members of the audience are invited to address the subcommittee on any subject not on the agenda. Speakers must limit their remarks to 3 minutes as an unagendized item. No response is required of city staff or the subcommittee. However, the subcommittee may agendize the item for a future meeting. Is there anyone in the public that would like to speak? Okay, seeing none, moving on to business items. Roll call vote to be conducted by city staff. A. Report of city manager approved contracts, ARPA related contracts, and the city manager's procurement card activity. May 2023. So who's gonna?
Happy to summarize for you, Mayor. What you have in your packet is the report May 2023, which covers the contracts approved by the city manager's office. Included as well is a confirmation that the city manager's P card, credit card, had no activities. We have updated the presentation, so the layout is a little bit differently. However, it still represents what you're used to seeing. In this report, you'll see summarized that there are 23 contracts totaling about $799,000. Each contract is delineated by the department, vendor name, a brief description, and the amounts. With that, I'll turn it over to you and see if you or Vice Mayor have any questions.
Okay, thank you for that. I don't have any information right now. So I do have the Enviro signs. I thought we did the signs ourselves in-house.
Which vendor
for
is that?
For the Manong's purchase of the Delano Manong's Park Green sign.
This sign in particular is tremendously complex. So, engineering, do you want to speak to it?
Sure, thank you. Yeah, Deputy City Manager Matt Kano. It's one of those bronze signs with the seal and you know, the names of the mayor and city council on and everything.
Those?
So those aren't signs that we have the ability to produce in house.
Oh, okay. It's not like the signs that we put at the parks.
Correct.
Bronze. Is it an addition to the signs that we put at the park, or is it just going to be that?
Sure, we're going to have three things at that park. One is just the standard park name sign. Let me back up. So there's two signs that we're working on contracts for right now. There's the standard park name sign, which is the large sign that says Delano Manong's on it.
And that's the one we usually do in-house.
That right? One we actually don't have in-house capability. It's pretty large. We have in-house capability for certain street signs, but for large park signs, we don't.
I see. Okay.
We're also doing the bronze dedication plaque that I mentioned in my prior response. And so those are the two items we're going to be contracting with. I think this actually is for that larger park name sign. There's a third one, which is a historical, going to be part of the historical park marker project that is going to be inside the park and talking about the history of Delano Manong's and designed by an artist. And that project itself, the next step in that project is to bring that to council in August for further discussion. We're not going to have any concepts drawings in August, but we will be bringing that project up to the council in August.
Okay. And that's the one that's $10,936.
No, this one is, I'm pretty sure this is the larger park name sign that says Delano Manong's that the people will see when they drive up to the park.
Is that the standard one?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, and thank you for that. Do you have any Mason Associates. Associates. So we have, I think it's coming, how many times are we paying them? Is there a reason why we're paying them twice?
We have two legal entities. One is the city, and one is what used to be the former RDA. So we have two contracts because we have two separate legal entities and two sets of audits and financial statements. These are all contracts within the city manager's contract authority of $100,000. So
they are
as long as they're within the city manager's contract authority. And so let me give you an example of that. So an example of that would be the geological study one, right? The all earth geotech engineering is an example on page 2 at the top. All-Earth Geotechnical Engineer, mm-hmm. That would be an example, right? Cummings Management Group is another example where we're doing a cost estimation study of all the projects and the potential metro-specific plans. So this represents all contracts purchased within the city manager authority, whether it's for purchases of services or for goods.
These are only for less than 100K, right?
Correct, because the purpose of this report is in accordance with the municipal code, and it is for us to be transparent about that. Correct.
So when it goes over 100,000, that goes to council.
Right, and we have developed the other report, which is the professional consultants report. We were tasked to report that starting in July.
Yes, please.
So we will be presenting that to council on a monthly basis, and that will include all purchase orders for professional services issued in each month. And that will have regardless of the amount, it'll be on the report. If we issue a PO for professional service, it'll end up on that report.
Oh, good. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Is this encumbered amount cumulative?
This encumbered amount is the amount for this contract transaction. So cumulative meaning if we have a multi-year contract?
No, meaning if this is like, TPC training, DEAR and strategic accounts. So this is 94,000. Would I find another 6,000 or something somewhere?
So let's take the Mason Associates as an example. Mayor asked why we have two of them, same vendor. Mm-hmm. So if we have two agreements, sometimes we may issue two contracts and two POs.
Mm-hmm. I get that.
Yeah, so there could be times where there could be another transaction with the same vendor.
What if it's the same vendor, the same request, the same type of work, but broken down into two?
We
do not hit the over 100,000.
We specifically have told the organization that's called splitting,
yes.
And we do not split because we are not condoning undermining the authority by splitting our purchases.
Okay, so we can say we don't have split amounts.
No, not for the same vendor for the same purpose.
That's what I mean, I think.
Correct.
The reason why I'm asking is I don't know if Mayor is still going to propose 50,000
cap.
cap.
Yeah, I understand that that has been an interest. One of the things we'd like to do is look at this report in the last 12 months and evaluate how many additional agenda reports we'd have to write, because that would mean that for contracts between 50 and 100,000, the departments would have to write an agenda report and go to council to get the authority. So if you'll allow us, you know, a few days, we'll get you that information next week. Because that's really the result of that new policy. And hopefully with that, that may inform your decision, because that means like all of recreation, all of public works, those are the ones with the most volume. They're going to have to do a lot more agenda reports if we change that threshold.
Is this do not do splitting policy is just recent?
No, it's in the Muni Code.
It's in the Muni Code.
Correct. So it's in our Muni Code. It's in our policies and procedures. All the buyers, including myself, safeguard over that. We are adamant.
And I just want to add from the administrative standpoint, just as the manager is an organization, it's a big no-no as well. And so it's something that we would absolutely flag if it came through. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't come through to us because the Orange team must stop it if it did.
Mm-hmm.
And Ashwin was going to come back with Ashwin and let us know what are the advantages and what are the disadvantages, like the breakdown.
So Mayor, just kindly, I'd like to add, like in this example, if I looked at the ones that are over 50K, we city staff would have to write 6 new agenda reports.
Yeah, I saw that. I was circling. So it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And so these would have to go before the council for approval.
Correct. Because when we change the city manager authority from 100,000 to 50,000, that means these 6 contracts, staff would have to write the agenda report, a department head would have to review it, it goes through the whole agenda routing process and gets put in the agenda packet. So on the consent agenda, we would have 6 additional agenda reports just for this month. And I think the departments that are going to hit really hard are going to be IT, because they have a lot of maintenance contracts, and that's a small department. Public Works, because they have a lot of on-call services, and Recreation.
Yeah, I see Public Works has a lot here.
Mm-hmm. So if you'll allow us, we would like to go back and look at the last 12 months so we can kind of see a 12-month impact.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's still up in the air. So
yep.
She said she was going to give us an report. That way we could.
Yeah, make an informed decision. And I think that coupled between this report and the new professional service report, you may find there's enough transparency there for you without creating a lot more administrative workload on the departments.
Okay, sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, I guess I
just want to, on the delaying amounts thing, we're not doing anything extra. This is just the way.
Absolutely correct. Yeah, this is the standard park name sign that we put on every new park that you can see as you're driving up. Right. And that's what this is for. And then we're doing a dedication, the bronze plaque, and that bronze plaque is actually a requirement of the county in order to close out the county's grant. Now this isn't for the bronze plaque, but we are ordering the bronze plaque as well.
Right.
To close out the county's grant, we have to have the bronze plaque. The one thing we are proposing to do extra will be in front of you for a decision in August regarding including this is part of the public art project for a historical marker. But that would be a decision we're bringing to the city council.
Mm-hmm. I would like to be involved in that in terms of what should be on the. I know you're gonna have a meeting with. I don't know who else.
We'll definitely involve you.
Mm-hmm.
Once we select the public artist, they'll have to kind of design what these markers will look like, and then it will come to the Arts Commission. But in the city side, we will probably be providing the artist with the language that's going to go on it, and so we'll make sure to coordinate that closely.
Yes, please.
Yes. And so we're a little ways from that. That'll be later this year.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to get to Boston because I used to work in Delano. Yeah. To pick grapes.
Yeah.
So I know that I know a lot of the history, so I want to make sure that the history is correct.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you.
So, okay.
Okay. So this one, I guess we're on B.
Would you like me to summarize, Mayor?
So yes. Are we done with the first one? An A?
Would you like us to proceed to B?
Yeah, please.
Okay, super. Well, we were asked to present to you information about rents paid and owed on parcels 1, 2, and 3. Council did receive that in closed session, which we won't speak about, but in front of you is a summary of such unpaid rents, summarized by addresses there. As you could see in the bottom, we are moving forward via the property manager to develop payment plans for the unpaid rents located in particular on parcels 2 and 3.
Now, is this unpaid rent for 1 year, 2 years, or how many years? Is it insane here?
It's multiple years. Yeah, some of it happened during
years.
The COVID period.
Yeah, it's during the pandemic that people started because they were impacted. They stopped paying rent. So I would say it's for about 2 years, probably, over a 3-year time frame. Maybe some are less than that.
Okay.
We should have that information.
And they're aware, right? Or have you notified them about their back rent?
Yeah. Okay. Well, what happens? If they're not paying, what can we do?
I think that's going to be a part of the discovery process as the property manager goes out there and contacts the different tenants, and there could be subtenants to make arrangements. We will see the feedback and then determine what may be feasible and reasonable.
So can you also add how much rent they pay?
Sure. You'd like the number of, like, the period they've been outstanding and then the monthly rent? Okay, we could do that.
It looks to me there's, like, if I remember correctly, like, parcels 2 and 3, how many renters do we have? Because this is 5. Even parcel 1. But parcel 2 is the one that is really high. So how many renters do we have? Did they all say we're not paying rent for the next couple of years?
No, and not all of the spaces are leased out because we haven't been leasing because we knew there was a plan, or at least, you know, we were going to look at a plan for these parcels. Not all those spaces are leased out.
Could we say that all the lease ones are not paying, or 20% or 50% of them are not paying?
Mm-hmm. And also, if you can also add how long they've been there. So the length of time that they've been renting, what do they pay each month, and what are their outstanding balance?
We did. The reason why I'm asking the number of renters is if there are only 5, and maybe the other ones just left and didn't pay at all for X amount of years. They just left. Because remember when we went there, we saw a couple of
vacant
buildings that looks like they didn't clean up. They just left everything and went.
And actually, according to Alex, he said that they're still renting, but it's kind of odd because they have all their equipment in there. They have a truck that's been there for like like 10 years because the tires, but he said that they're still renting. So why would they be renting and have all their equipment there and have a truck that's been there like 10 years? So if you could find out.
Yeah. So we do have information. I think one of the things we were trying to balance is what we can say in closed session versus what we're saying in a public session, because this record is a public record, so I want to be sensitive to that. I'll try to address some of your questions. If we look at the first location, 1454 Main Street, the monthly rent is $1,650. The outstanding amount goes back to January of 2022.
$1,650.
$650.
This is for all the 1454.
Okay.
Oh, that's the arts. What's the name of the arts?
Outertainment.
Yeah, that's the one. Okay. So let me try to do my best here, try to look at this spreadsheet and answer your question. 1458 to 1460 Main Street. The monthly rent there is $3,250. The amount outstanding goes back to 2020. So we could see certainly that began during the pandemic.
So instead of saying it, can you send it?
Yes, we'll just
because it's
a
lot of time.
Okay, we're just trying to answer the questions during the meeting. So would you want us to follow up?
Okay. Yeah, because the name of the place, the length of time they've been there,
how much did they rent?
How much is the rent? What's their outstanding balance?
And since when?
You mean how long they've been there? You want to know the duration of their tenancy?
Some of that information already, you might want to just ask him for it. Because I had asked him for that.
Okay. So we'll follow the name of the tenant, the duration of the tenancy, number of periods outstanding, the monthly rent, and I believe, Vice Mayor, you wanted to know, like, the percentage of collections, right? So if we've got 100% billed, how many of our tenants, what percentage of our tenants are paying versus this list we have here, right?
Right. I mean, I don't think there's much. I don't think there's more than that's why I asked you. Because we were there and we were counting the number of businesses they're still active.
Mm. Well, yeah, and also, how much did we pay the manager that was supposed to manage it?
We have a current contract now. Are you referring to now?
The previous one.
Previously.
And the one that we have now.
Okay, we can get you that info.
I guess also maybe this is the revenue, I mean, potential work. What are our expenses besides the management, that guy would pay to manage the place?
Yeah, sure. We could look into that. Odds are it's going to have some property management costs and some facilities maintenance costs and upkeep. We'll take a look to see. I'm not sure if we have the ability to cost by projects like that, Matt. We'll have to look. So we'll do our best.
We're just getting the information so we can use them moving forward on what it is that we have.
Because usually there's a contract, right?
For like on-call services?
For the manager.
Oh, yes, for the property manager, for sure. For sure. We have that, but I believe the question now is what are other costs?
Yes.
The maintenance.
That's right, because there's maintenance, repairs,
yes,
things like that. We'll see if we can aggregate those costs, because our cost accounting system is not that sophisticated. So
in the contract, it says all that, how much it costs to maintain
yes.
the place. I mean,
we just don't have it here, Mayor. So, and the property manager is only doing parts of one now. He's going to do two and three, so he's going to do all of it.
Okay.
Before that, he was just doing parts of one. So we have a new agreement.
Sounds good.
Do we have other properties that we do maintain that we get revenue from?
The one we bought, you know, the Nibby Construction is leasing, right, for staging area. So that's one we entered into an agreement for.
So what's the revenue there?
It wasn't a whole lot, but we can just do that. That was for like 18 months we had entered into a contract so they could stage for their Sango Court project.
Oh, that one?
Yeah. Oh. So it's just a short term thing.
This is a short term, but right. Longer so term?
Sango one?
So no, it's the new one.
They're building on Sango, so they wanted to stay for staging,
I think this is okay. What I'm looking at is really long term. Do we have any other properties that we lease out that we get revenue from? What's the standing rent or?
We have BMR ones that we manage, below market rate ones. Right, so we have some of those. So it's on the housing side. Other than that, I don't believe we do, but we'll check in terms of our real estate assets. We don't own a lot of real estate.
Yeah, that's what I... Well, how are we doing with our BMRs?
So we're doing fine. It takes a lot to manage the BMRs, and so council approved kind of outsourcing to this house keys program, right, for BMR management, because as affordable housing projects are getting built, we're adding, like I think next year we're adding 50 new BMRs and then 200 after that based on the projected development. So I think that will be really good, kind of freeing up our staff time for then all of our other housing programs, because it takes like one of our analysts, just for four BMR transactions, it took like an entire year because they get pretty complicated, and then you have to do the marketing, you have to do all of the transactions. So it took a lot of time. I mean, not like maybe full time, but it took a substantial amount of time. So house keys are being used by a lot of cities to manage their BMR program.
That's the software?
And seems to be, it's a service. And
oh, it's a service?
Yeah, and they do a pretty comprehensive management of the BMR program, and it's quite cost effective.
That would be good to know. That's another source of income for the city, and what's the expenditure, how much house keys service cost is. I'm just trying to see if... keep adding more BMRs. We're just curious. How do we stand in terms of the
BMRs? Really, more on that, it's more going towards policy goals. So it's not like we'd be making money off of all these new BMRs that are coming on board, because they're part of our, you know.
Service, public service.
Right, it's part of because of the affordable housing ordinance, that's why they're being built.
Well, we still need to look we don't want to lose our money.
Right, but it's almost like we're paying through our housing funds, we're paying to manage these, you know, because it's not something we own, but we need to make sure that they're being properly managed in terms of leasing to the right, you know, whether it's low income or anything.
Okay. That sounds good.
All right, the next one, C, the unit finishing detail of public art.
Great. So I'll briefly summarize. We've been asked to provide you information on the Public Art Fund. You'll see in your packet a memo that summarizes the fund balance and two spreadsheets that summarize the revenue and expenses. At a high level, the Public Art Fund has $1.4 million. You'll find it in two places. One is in the Public Art Fund, which is about $950,000, and the other residual $500,000 is in the CIP Fund for Public Arts. Moving your attention to the spreadsheet, you will have a revenue spreadsheet. The revenue shows the aggregate of the revenue from fiscal year 2016 through the current fiscal year for the month ended May. Likewise, you'll have an expenditures spreadsheet that shows a summary of the expenditures for the fiscal years 2016 through May of this year. Please let us know if you have any questions.
So with the actual art for the buildings, who is responsible for maintaining that? Is that us?
If it's like, public infrastructure.
Yeah, so like, you know, the Minuteman or all the other art in front of those new developments.
Developments, I think it'll depend, right? If it's on their property, then it'll
be neighborhood. Okay, I'm just curious.
Yeah, ideally, if it's a new development, we're trying to get it to stay on their property so we don't have to take it on.
Yeah. But you know, the art in the new buildings, it makes a big difference. Absolutely. It really enhances the whole area, like a So, what about those grants that we give away? Is it here?
So, we do not yet. So, those are the, through the Public Art Commission, the Arts Commission, we have the grants program where we give the in-kind grants, and as you know, as we discussed, there is definitely a cost to giving an in-kind grant, but we don't transfer any money. So, for example, the stage at the Sunny Hills, the Juneteenth event this past weekend, we didn't transfer any money to Sunny Hills Neighbor Association as part of that grant award. We just awarded them in-kind services, and so we had our staff come out and set up the stage for them. And definitely a cost to that, and we do track the value of that cost, but we don't actually, even though we track the value of that cost, we don't necessarily have a funding source or a dollar amount identified in the budget for it.
So it's like a soft cost where it's not a hard actual cost, it's tangible.
Yeah, in kind. And so the stage, you know, we own the stage. And normally we would charge someone to rent the stage. So it didn't really cost us anything. It cost our staff time to bring the stage there and set it up. But the actual stage rental, we just kind of waived. And so over time, of course, we want to continue to charge for the stage rental under most circumstances so we can, you know, have money to replace the stage someday.
Whatever happened to the old stage? Did you guys sell it?
When I came in, we used to rent a stage. So I don't know if there was an old stage.
Yeah, we had.
So it must have been a while back, because in 2018, we were renting a stage for events. And so it wasn't very cost effective. And so we added a new stage in the budget. We used to rent it for events. And so when you add it all up, it made more sense to buy it.
But is there a policy in... What's the policy that we follow to provide that in-kind grant from the Arts Commission? Because I was going to bring this up at the last meeting, but we didn't have the time. I would like to review the policy in terms of in-kind, well, whatever the policy that the Arts Commission is following to give in-kind grants to any organization. Because I would like to see that in front of the council, not just the commission, to be honest with you. I don't know. I have to look at the policy first.
Okay, so for right now, is the current request just to provide you a copy of the policy, and then you can have further discussion about what you may want to recommend.
Yeah, okay. Leave it alone.
Okay.
I just need to know the policy.
Okay, so we'll forward you that information.
Is that all the Arts Commission has responsibility or freebie for, not the actual money grant?
Correct. They don't give any, there's no city funding.
In-kind.
It's just the in-kind.
Why is there a need for, in that sense, why is there a need for, is there a set-aside amount for the commission to give away each year?
No, each commission just has $1,000 budget.
No, I mean for the arts grant.
Yeah, so no, the in-kind, I don't think there is a...
I don't think there is.
Yeah. Is there...
So that's something, the council could look at. Is it a max per event, a max per year, something? Or if it maybe reaches a certain threshold of any kind that comes to council. So those are some of the
things. Yes, I probably need to look at the policy, because I think I misunderstood the thing. What it says is, when they do this recommendation for arts, they have a certain threshold, or where do they get the funds? That was my question. And I thought we get the Arts Commission gets the funds from Public Arts Fund. And now you're telling me it's not. They can only do in-kind. So
not for the grants, but they do have a role in the public art, like the art goes to them for approval and stuff. So they do have a role on that.
Right, I get that. But where do they get
grants.
The funds?
Those funds do come from public. So let's say an art project was going to them for approval.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the funding will be coming from the public art fund. So then we're talking kind of two different things.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
These events, grants are just in kind. There's no money associated with it. But
mm-hmm.
of course, I mean, there's money implied because
yes,
if
I
it's
understand.
A staff resource or whatever. But they do have a role to play in the use of public art money. In terms of what type of project, which artists
right.
they select, they do have a role.
Oh,
and as part of the $489,000 is an example. That is in the CIP budget. Every year, when you approve the CIP budget, there's a specific detail page for public art. And in the description of that detail page, it lists the items. And you know, sometimes it's generic, it says mural program. But
uh-huh.
it lists those items that can be funded out of that program. But then, yeah.
Because I remember the chair asking how much money is left on the arts fund. Why is that important? I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
One thing we have working on this year is about to get started is the public arts plan. Which will provide a master plan for not only you know, what public art do we want to have in our city in the future, but also what is the best way to maintain that public art collection.
Mm-hmm.
And that will come to council for you know, discussion and approval. And as part of the $951,000
mm-hmm.
that is really unallocated at this point in time for the
right.
public art fund, that public art plan that would be approved by council would help direct and guide how to use that money and future collections.
I like that, the master plan. That's what you're talking about,
correct.
Creating a master plan for
public
how to
arts.
Use the public
mm-hmm.
art.
Correct.
That's great.
That's something that
I
Recreation...
never had that.
Yeah,
yeah, Recreation
okay.
has that on their work plan this year. And
okay.
It's about maintaining the art collection as well, in addition
yeah.
to building it out.
Okay. Okay. I think I'm good. The next one is staff or liaison reports. Any reports from staff?
No.
Okay. And so I wanted to ask about the murals. You know, since I don't know if you were, but I'm the one that had asked for an arts ordinance back in 2014, I think it was. This is a real good, and how I learned about this art ordinance is when I used to serve on the Parks and Recs Commission, we went to a city called Brea, and then they had an arts ordinance, and I said, oh wow, that's great. So that's why I came back and asked the city council to do that. And so I really do like it, because it really makes our city, it beautifies our city, you know, and it makes it a higher level. And so. So now I'm wondering how the mural program, I think we had murals in our city, and really, it's like a game changer. It really enhance our city. So I'm wondering, where are we at in that?
And right now, I think we've, council has given direction to focus on those columns, right? The columns, we talked about it, kind
right,
of in
right.
the Trader Joe's location.
Yeah.
So, working with VPA, I mean, it's going to take a little bit because it's a different organization and the infrastructure, but that was the direction, focus there, and then also potentially on Main Street as part of when we're doing the storefront, maybe there's an opportunity there.
Yeah.
One of the things, if you may recall, is the city entered into an MOU with SV Creates as well. And SV Creates is kind of at a regional level. They try to connect us to art funding and artists. And so they're also hoping to kind of work with us. It's been an idea to maybe convene a couple of commissions or with council, do a study session to see what we could do. But because we have this public art master plan process moving through, we'll need to figure out how to integrate that. But I think the main focus is going to be right now, those columns. Yeah.
But for Main Street, we're still working on the banners, right? For when the holidays.
Correct. Earlier today, Christian Dorenzo and Renee Lorenzen and I had a lot of back and forth on that together. And so we will have more detail for you on that in the next couple of weeks after we talk about it.
So when I went to Columbus, Ohio, mm-hmm. or was it the other one? Columbus. They had the arch. Remember we were talking about the arch on Main Street? So I took some pictures and I just haven't had a chance to send them.
To you.
I took some pictures in San Francisco when we went to Philippine Independence Day.
Oh yeah.
And those are the things you don't want to do.
Oh.
So I was going to send it to you guys.
Yeah.
So right?
The see banner. A lot of graffiti in San
the banner. The banner. Yeah. Please don't do this type.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well,
thank you so much. I'm sorry I was 5 minutes late.